Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Today, I'm here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys? I gotta say, I love this concept of the show.
Warning: The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan here sitting in studio with David Square this evening.
Yeah, squared.
Squared, yes.
Yes.
Squared.
It's saying David Square is like a different... I don't know what that means.
David Square.
There's a couple Davids here.
There are a couple Davids.
Precisely two of us.
Right. Named after the patriarch. Is that yes. the same? Okay. Yeah. So that's a true
and
David
Square. And your father. And my father.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
But who's ultimately named after the patriarch? Yeah. So.
Right. Your patriarch.
My patriarch and the patriarch.
And yeah. the patriarch. So it is a true David Square.
Did you, growing up, did you identify with King David?
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember being in, like, kindergarten and
Absolutely.
Hearing stories of
King David.
I cried all the time.
You know, I just went to all the passages where he's crying and
I just remember feeling like, wow, I'm really important.
Well, yeah, you got right. Well, you're beloved. That's how you start off. You're Amen. Like, hey, you're beloved.
Amen. I mean, I didn't make me that way.
I connected with Adam like from the get go. I was like walking around naming animals.
I'm the first guy.
Like, yeah. You dog. You're over here. Come over here. Dog.
And you never could figure out why nobody liked you.
Yeah. But I think there's definitely something in a name. There's no doubt about it. Naming animals, you know.
Nomen, yeah. Nomen est omen. The name is the destiny.
That's right. A lot of dancing, too.
A lot of dancing. Not going
to
say what kind of...
we don't have to.
Not going to say what kind of outfits.
Yeah.
Naked dancing.
Just going to say a lot of dancing.
No. Yeah, yeah, there's no birthday suit dancing. Yeah, but there is definitely a little bit of that. How about we
introduce our guest? Let's introduce our guest to the Catholic Man Show. Dave, I'll let you do that.
Okay,
Niles, I'll let you introduce our guest this evening.
It is my humble privilege to introduce to the world for a second time here on the Catholic Man Show, Mr. David Williams, creator of Saint Cards.
Yes.
Creator of many children.
Yes.
Co-creator.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. My wife gets a lot of credit for quite a bit of it,
sure.
including Saint Cards, but
sure.
especially
yeah,
the children.
You know, I guess that's fair. I think it is. Yeah.
She was there, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but thank you. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be in studio with you guys. Oh, my goodness. Such a pleasure. We're down here to meet my new great nephew, who was born a few weeks early, which was totally awesome. And so it worked out to where, you know, I'm literally 15 minutes away. So thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And well, it makes me feel old to be a great uncle.
I was about to ask you about
this is a great uncle.
I just became a great nephew. Uncle. He's a great nephew of mine. Yeah. So my nephew had a son. Yeah. It's really cool.
That is kind of an old feeling.
I've got like 20.
But you're not that old. That's the thing.
Well, I don't know. I've got about 27 gray hairs, and then I'm a great uncle. Look, so maybe I am.
Look, I had buddies in high school who had 100 times that many gray hairs. I mean,
yeah.
Who were bald.
It's happening, though. You know, it's happening. I'm still young at heart, so it's okay.
You know, I hate to do this, but the Lord has seen fit to tonsure me.
Oh no!
Why you're doing that to yourself?
It's a sign of holiness.
Oh,
you know, the monks,
I'd rather have the gray hair than no hair.
The monks, they took it on as a sign of humility, and God saw fit, given my humility,
that you were
to bless me.
Yeah,
to bless me with the outward sign of the inward reality, which is the tonsure.
It is the tonsure
by God's own hand.
Nice.
Yeah, no man has tonsured me, but God Himself.
But that's special.
It is. It's
super
that's how I feel.
I'm excited for
and
you.
And I'm already married, and so it's like...
It's okay.
Whatever.
Well, how about this? We've already opened our beer this evening.
I must confess, I took 3 sips.
Already?
I haven't started yet.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to wait for the start of the show.
What virtue.
It was
just,
very ceremonious of you.
It was just... I just had to drink water first, that's all.
I understand. Yeah. So our beer this evening is a double IPA from Great Divide, a brewery out of Colorado.
Really
called
good.
Hercules.
The Hercules.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Very nice.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Yeah. So... It is a strong beer. It's 10% alcohol.
Mm.
So it's definitely one we will sip on this evening, no doubt. But it is a full-bodied double IPA.
And
it's delicious.
It is delicious at 8,300 feet above sea level. I just was in Colorado in May and had this exact IPA at about 8,300 feet.
Nice.
And it's a great experience. It really is.
That is an interesting thing to see how a beer might change.
Based on elevation?
Different elevations.
It does. There's a Rocky Mountain or any other mountain kind of a effect.
I can see it being a lot more carbonated.
And if you are grilling ribs while you're drinking it, it's even better.
Always.
You know what? I was doing that yesterday.
Were you?
Grilling/smoking ribs. So in the smoking phase, I had a pan of water in there, you know, because it's smoking low and slow. I was going to pull it out to finish the ribs on direct heat. I did pull it out, but you know, it's those aluminum
tins.
Tins. Yeah. So I got it out. I was holding it by opposite corners. This may have been...
That's a rookie mistake.
So it kind of folded a little bit.
Well, I couldn't... You know, the thing is, I'm pulling it out of a hot...
Right.
So I can't, like, reach the back.
Right.
All I could do is get another corner.
Yeah.
Sure.
When I did that and got it out, it kind of collapsed and poured the boiling water right onto my foot.
Wow.
Wow.
Did I tell you this?
No.
This happened yesterday.
How did it feel?
It hurt.
By a round of applause, how did it feel?
Hot. It was hot.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had tennis shoes on. I had been working in the yard
and didn't change.
Because a lot of times I grill in flip-flops, which maybe is not a good idea.
Right.
It's like, come on, you can grill in flip-flops, but maybe it's not a good idea. If I had flip-flops on, my foot... I don't know. I may have had to go to the hospital. I have no idea. I mean, maybe not. But right now, I have huge blisters on my toes.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
On my toes.
Yikes. Offer it up for my salvation.
I'll show them to you later.
Yikes.
Thanks, dude.
Yikes. Well, hey. We have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah.
David, last time you were on our show, on or off the air, I can't remember, you told us a story that I've told many people that I want to replicate someday.
Sure.
Because you told us that when you came home from work, you had your oldest start preparing dinner. So you and your wife could go sit outside and have a conversation before.
Yeah, we have.
Before any more talking, before anything else, that's what happens.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah, that's the idea is that, you know, they're all, the kids are all there, right? Ready to see and hug you. And it's not that you ignore them, but you make sure when you hit that doorstep, it's, where's your mama? Right. And it's back to that whole, like, I love you so much, but I loved her first. So I'm going to get to her real quick. And I'm going to totally, like, you know, pile into wrestling and all the other things that we do, right?
My father-in-law says, I chose her. You just showed up
later.
You
just showed up later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is that dynamic, too, where, you know, again, it's not every night. We definitely are imperfection working toward perfection. But at the same time, it's you know what, guys, I actually have not had an opportunity to talk to your mama all day. And she's my favorite. I'd like to get caught up with her, and I need you guys to tend the skillet here, and make sure that the table's set, and we'll be in about 20 minutes. And it's not necessarily always perfect at the end of the 20 minutes, but it's definitely work in progress. We actually, the other day, this is kind of weird for us, like we were out running errands and the little guy was sleeping, and this, it was the first time that we had both been outside the house. And again, our kids are 13 and 12, and they're getting old enough to be able to babysit and keep each other accountable and everything. But we did have this little window of like 8 minutes whenever we were like on our own by ourselves, like with our kids, taking care of at home, taking care of each other. And immediately I thought, let's just go on a date. And I don't know why, but I just saw the McDonald's, like it's not too heavy. Let's just go. Let's have an ice cream cone and then come back. And my wife and her beautiful Prudence says, we should maybe here in a couple months we can work toward that. So we're getting close.
Working towards McDonald's.
I know.
I should probably
raise up the bar a little bit. I was just thinking something really,
quick, easy. You know what? They have a good cup of coffee. An underrated cup of coffee.
And they're $1.29, vanilla cone. It's fantastic.
So here's a question that I have for you. I wanted to ask you this because this last week was a heck of a week in work. It was just pounding on me. And coming home, I wear a lot of things on my sleeve. If work has been bad, it's tough for me to transition out of that and mentally into the home. Put that aside, bring it into the home.
Right.
So there were several times this week I was just like, let's get the kids to bed. Let's eat and get them to bed. And I realized that, I'm not fulfilling my vocation as a husband and father when doing that. I think a lot of guys... most guys have probably felt that at some point in time. What do you do? How do you combat that? How do you combat that feeling?
It's hard. And I think what makes it hard in the workplace is obviously all the relationships that are really tough. The actual matter of the work itself is not so much the clerical work or whatever it is that we're doing, the widgets that we're pushing or making. It's not really the problem. It's the people, those personality conflicts that can really be tough bringing back to the home. And how to, you're trying to work your way up and you hit a door, slam door there, or you've got something happen and someone blamed you and it's really not your fault and you've got to try to prove that it's not, or, all these things pop up. Right. And so it's really important that just like with the rosary or just with our reflective prayer with the Lord throughout the day, you got to give them at least 15 minutes of your attention before they go to bed. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not just them collectively. The goal is that you have 10 to 15 minutes individually that you can give your wife, especially. Right. That's first and foremost. Right. So pray the rosary, spend time with Our Lady. Right. But then these other moments where you've got, your kids, they are, give them 1% of your day. Right. So we could talk about that more at the end of the break.
Sure. All right. Well, I'm here with David Williams and David Niles here on the Catholic Command Show, drinking a little bit of Hercules beer from Great Divide. We'll be right back.
Cheers. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam in hand, and David Williams. I feel like it's been a long time since we've recorded one of these. Because we had several in the can, and it's
feels good to be back in the saddle.
It was 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Because we skipped 2 weeks in a row.
And you're telling me it's been almost a year for me, so.
I don't even know.
Welcome back.
I know.
Like, you're really holding it together pretty well.
I'm trying not to be emotional, but it's okay. It's good to be back.
Just like an old pro.
It feels good. I'm a big fan of this area, and so we get to come here 3 or 4 times a year. It's a pretty awesome place. So you guys live.
Well, good. That means you'll get a chance to be on the show.
I hope
quarterly.
So. I hope so. Yeah. Thanksgiving coming up. Hopefully, we'll see.
Sweet. Good deal.
I love Thanksgiving. I do.
It is. It rivals the holidays for sure.
I'm going to be pumped about Thanksgiving because I'm going to have a new baby.
That's pretty awesome. Congrats.
That is a good reason to be thankful.
Yes.
It really is.
It's a great reason to be thankful.
You guys do the whole, like, you know, you get the, you know, four pieces of corn and then those, you know, you go around the table and say you're thankful for something. We
did that one time.
One time.
It was not, yeah. It's not
hard.
A tradition.
It's hard to get traditions started for Thanksgiving.
The thing is, my family is way too big for that.
Yeah.
There's no way we could ever do it. We always spend Thanksgiving at my mom's family, and she's one of nine.
Yeah.
I have,
if you just show up to dinner, that's like showing your gratitude.
I have 36 cousins on that side.
That's awesome.
So it is awesome, but there's no way we could do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Everybody sit down for the next 3 hours. Right. We're going
to
hear it.
Get comfortable. Everybody go to the bathroom.
That's what I love about that. That's the Catholic backyard. That's my prayer for the second and third and fourth generation of my family. It's just like, 57 cousins.
You know what? I'm going to tell this story just because I think this is a good testament to large families, just the message that it preaches. Yeah. Because I remember being 15, roughly.
Yeah.
Early high school. And being over at my grandparents' house. My grandfather was probably 90. Late 80s. He was in a lot of pain for the last 15 years of his life. He had, anyway, just constant pain. But he'd sit in his recliner a lot. But I remember looking at him, surrounded by what is an army of family.
Yeah.
And just knowing the satisfaction. I could see it.
Yeah.
Just the peace and joy it brought to him to be surrounded by so much family.
That's
and
right.
It was at that moment that I said, I want to have a big family.
Amen. It is.
At 15.
Yeah. It's the greatest investment, you know, that you could possibly... You can't even imagine because it's something that God does. It's not even, it's kind of beyond our imagination, but it's, you know, we like to keep our bank books in order and make sure that we're, you know, being strategic about it. But truly, I mean, when it's all said and done, it's, you know,
and it's almost
the
like
family is,
what is everybody else doing? If you're, you know, if you're not having kids and raising them, like, what is it that you're doing that's so important? You know, like this is what I tell people at work. Because people, you know, it's like there are secular people at work and, you know, not everyone.
Oh, I'm getting hit up all the time now that have the fourth one on the way.
Yeah,
it's
like, you have now.
Well, three,
right. You've
three's
now,
like, okay, we get it. You accidentally
good job.
Had
right,
three.
Because you had to get your girl. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That we noticed that changed, too.
But you've entered Looneyville now.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I tell people at work is,
like, whoa.
You know, oh, they'll ask, you know, like, oh, you can have more kids, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, if you had another kid, do you think you would regret having them?
Yeah.
And they always say, well, no.
Right.
It's like, so do you think you'd be happy, you know, like, that you had this child? Well, yeah. So why don't you just have them?
Right. Well, and it really is a theme of openness to life because, you know, there's actually a coworker of mine who, you know, just never, you just always wanted a large family, wanted 13 kids, but just never got married. And so I think to date she's had, like, I don't know, 75 foster kids.
Wow.
And just
awesome.
Just taking care of of babies.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's amazing.
And,
yeah.
And so it's really in you know, and if you look at it on the flip side of it, look at all the different vocations as well. Obviously priests are taking care of the flock, right? But you have our brothers and sisters religious who may not have families of their own, but they are literally going to war for us and praying. They're like, you know, the artillery guns that are, you know, firing those big old shells right in front of us to help us on the front lines. Right?
Have you been to Clear Creek?
I have not. I want to. I got to get there.
Hey, you're going
to
be here till Wednesday?
I know. I got to get there.
Think last about it. It's only an hour.
I got to get there.
Last weekend in October, we're having the camp out there.
All right. You might find me there. I might have to crash the party.
That'd be a blast.
That'd be a blast.
So before we get to the man gear, we're going to give a shout out.
Yeah, we have to do this.
We have to give a shout out to St. Stephen Hool. This ties in. Do you like that? Do you like what we're about to do
And
here?
We're talking about big families.
You like that?
Okay, you want to talk about a big family. We got a bunch of family members right here.
So we have guys. The only reason why in between our segments, David Williams was like, man, this is awesome in here. And it's like, well, we have a lot of expensive equipment, but the only reason why we do is because people like St. Stephen Hool who donate to us, who, like, we send thank you gifts back to them, like whiskey glasses, things like that. But we know that that's not the reason why people support us.
Yeah.
You know, they support us because they want to help us. 100% of those donations go back into the show. That's why we are able to do this live segment here on Facebook. That's why we have all this stuff. So I appreciate St. Stephen Hool, who has been a donor for us for almost since the very beginning. He's one of our first guys.
One of.
That's awesome.
So anyway, you can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow if you'd like to help. $4 a month is as little as you have to give. No gift is too big, but $4 a month is the minimum. So
if you want a reward.
If you want a reward.
If you, yeah.
You can give less than that, but
it's a cup of coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
we won't send you a thank you gift.
Yeah.
Not that we're not thankful, but
right.
Shipping.
Right.
So
yeah. We actually lose money the first month people become yeah. patrons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's get to the gear. Let's talk about this. So you want to go to the do we do okay. it yet?
Dum ba da da.
Boom.
Yeah, so we make saint cards. So if you haven't heard of saint cards, you can go to saintcards.com and check them out. But this is actually, I think, David and his wife and his family.
This is my deck of saint cards right here.
And I should have brought my own deck, but I sold out of them while I was down here in Tulsa, which is okay. So thanks for bringing them.
Totally. That's totally cool.
But this is new. This actually, this is the Heaven Hold'em expansion, and it came out this past April. So it's just a few months out on the presses. It's got a nice rubberback mat. But what we have done is we have baptized the game of Texas Hold'em. So, you know, you have that typical, like, hey, I'm getting together with the guys. We're going to go play poker tonight. Okay, honey, you know, that conversation, but how much sweeter would that conversation be if it was like, hey, I'm going to get together with the guys, we're going to play Heaven Hold'em, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the saints so that we can increase in our own holiness and, you know, get to know them as well, right? So, you know, super cool conversation to have. So there's a few differences in the way that the game is played, but we keep a lot of the components, right? So,
okay.
The idea is, and if you're used to saint cards, you know that there's lots of treasure. In Heaven Hold'em, we have the brand new Amethyst, which is worth 50, which is the purple. I know.
Nice.
Don't get too jealous. Right?
If you're listening on the radio or on our podcast, you can go subscribe to our YouTube channel because you can see this live. Or not live, but you can see the video.
See the mat.
Yeah, that's happening right now.
See the mat. Oh, see the jewels, right?
I'm going to tell you. My wife, when we play, her only goal is to get the diamonds.
Yeah. Well, now you have...
Even if she loses, she just wants to get diamonds.
Now you have the amethyst. Now, the amethyst is worth 50. It is amazing. It's beautiful, right? Now, these, again, the treasure in St. Cards, it's all based off of the foundation gemstones in heaven. It's from the book of Revelation. So there's all sorts of biblical themes here that we're doing. So you basically split the treasure up. So let's say the three of us were playing, right?
Jesus go right here? Is this where Jesus goes?
Jesus is actually the dealer button in this game, right?
Ooh.
So the idea is that you've
Jesus
got,
is a dealer button.
Jesus is the dealer button. So there's a brand new Jesus card that you cannot get.
Hold it down a little.
Unless you get the Heaven Hold'em expansion. So you've got our Lord there.
Okay.
The crucified
Jesus, and then our Eucharistic Lord there as well.
Okay.
So it is a third iteration of the Jesus card. So let's say, David, you've got the dealer. Actually follows around. You got the Jesus card, and we've got our treasure dealt out there. And so you're dealing the cards out. And let's fast forward a little bit, and let's say we've already put our
hand just throw some cards out there.
Let's throw some cards. So you've got your two. You've got your two. And then
I'm not going to lie. I really like my two.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you like
all
it,
of
right?
them are great.
So, I would like to go all in.
You haven't seen the flop, right?
That's okay. So, I'm going all in. Okay.
Yeah. Don't throw it down yet.
Going all in. I'm all in.
So we burn a card and then the flop happens. But in Heaven Hold'em, it's the flop on your knees before the Father.
Booyah.
Ephesians 3:14. And then the turn your eyes upon Jesus, which is Hebrews.
It even says that here on the map.
It even says it right
here on the map.
And then the river of the water of life, Revelation 22:1. Come on.
Well played.
Can you get any more Christian than this?
Touché,
right? So you've got your two cards, and then, of course, you're the dealer. So then, you know, here comes the flop, right? And so your goal is, as the game's going, and you're holding these two cards in your hand, they're hidden from us. And we're placing not bets, but offerings, right?
Right.
We're making offerings. And by the way, let's fast forward a little bit. If you play with real money, it's written in the rules that you have to give the winnings to a faithful Catholic charity of your choice. And if you play with littles, they get to drop the offering in the offering plate at Mass, right? That's what the winner gets to do, right?
Nice.
So again, we're not trying to you know, start a gambling ring here, but in this case,
do play with real money.
It is a real, it's a very fun game. And so what you're doing with the two cards that you
flop,
have,
by the way,
what a flop, right? You've got St. Francis Xavier, you got St. Benedict of Nursia, you got St. Teresa of Lisieux. And so there's the flop, and you're looking at your two cards. and you are trying to find a match, the most matches between two of your cards and two of the cards that are actually on the grid, right? So,
right.
As an example, if I were to lay my cards down right now, I could put St. Francis Xavier Cabrini here, born in the 19th century, virgin, religious woman, Western Europe. That would be worth four. And then if I threw down St. Edmund the Martyr of East Anglia, I could do, not a whole lot with the other. So you get one card per, you match one card per one in here. And then when we get back, I can explain the rest.
Okay.
Doctor of the Church, Western Europe. I've got Western Europe, baby Jesus, Eastern right. Europe, priest.
Right.
All kinds of stuff.
So whatever you offer.
All right. We'll finish this up on the other side of the break.
Okay. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sitting here with David Williams from St. Cards. Go to stcards.com. We just got done. If you're just now catching up, we're just now finishing up talking about Heaven Hold'em.
Yes.
The expansion pack for St. Cards. If you have St. Cards, because we've already promoted St. Cards once. We've had you on the show about a year ago. So if you already have St. Cards, all they have to do is get this expansion pack, correct?
That's right. Yeah, you get the mat, you get the new Jesus card, and then a gob of treasure with so you can play with up to 10 players.
I'm a big fan of this new Jesus card.
It's my favorite Jesus card.
What is this? Do you remember the...
Not off the top of my head. Yeah. I do have it logged. Who painted that? But it is lovely.
Because there's a lamb here at the bottom.
Yeah. It is our Eucharistic Lord in all of his glory. I love to ask people, which side is Jesus? And then they have that moment where they're like, yeah, both. Yeah. And usually the kids are like, yeah, it's both, which is awesome.
Also, I want you to talk about, just briefly, the Stigmatist expansion pack.
Yeah.
I love the Stigmatist expansion pack.
Yeah. So if you go to stcards.com, there's all sorts of expansions, but this Stigmatist expansion will give you all of the canonized and beatified stigmatists to date. And there's a really cool, new rule that gets added to the game where you can double your treasure, which is a lot of fun. So that's the Stigmatist expansion. It's got St. Faustina, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, all sorts of great saints. So that's a Stigmatist expansion, and lots of other expansions you can find at stcards.com.
You get the Stigmatist, this is the best part. You get the red jewel, treasures, and you put them in your hand like this.
So yeah, exactly. So you get your treasure, and then the person to your left, or if you're playing with one person, the person across from you takes the same amount of treasure, puts it behind their back, and hides it. Let's try it right here with you right now. Let's see which hand. All right, and so then when the hand opens, it looks like a stigmata.
Like, because it's the red. Yeah.
Because it's the red.
I love it. I love it.
It's a way to double your treasure, right? But again, it's a real cool way. St. Cards is a real cool way to get to know very basic facts about the saints. Again, some people have reached out and said, hey, this is not a replacement for Butler's Lives or anything. And I said, you're absolutely right.
Totally.
It's not a bibliography or anything like that, but it's a way.
It's not like you can stop listening to glory stories or anything. Yeah,
or the Catholic Man Show.
Right.
Right. But at the same time, it is a way to, it's what I like to call that vestibule conversation, right?
What is the learning method that this is based off of?
Based off of the loci method, right?
Loci method.
So the information is all in the same spot on each of the cards. So as soon as you learn that orange means apostle, that just sticks in a kid's, he may not even know what apostle is, or she might not know. But as soon as they learn that it's orange, they are able to automatically, assess. And it's not just for kids. The loci method is very, very useful for adults. I personally use it a lot for that grocery shopping list that my wife gives me over the phone as I'm driving to Walmart. And she says, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And then I can place those things in my little spaces in my head. And
the big problem with that is, they say, oh, we need butter. But they don't say salted or unsalted.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you...
Kerrygold.
Like, yeah, did you mean tub butter or stick butter? It's like...
And then you're the man standing in front of the butter.
Yeah. And you're asking like random women walking by, like, do you think salted is better?
Yeah, we don't want that.
But they can go to the stcards.com and you have a video of how to play everything.
If you go... Yeah. You don't have to buy them to kind of figure out what's going on there. You can go to stcards.com/rules and there we have videos on how to play all this. But yeah, I mean, the Heaven Hold'em is, you basically, instead of making bets, you make offerings. So there's the flop, and then, of course, you burn the card, and then, then there's the turn, your eyes upon Jesus. So Jesus comes out. That could sweeten the pot a little bit. And then you have the rip, we burn a card, and then we have the the river, right? And so then based on how many cards, you know, the two cards that you have, you look at the five that are the house cards that are played out. And then your goal is to find the most matches with, you know, two of those cards. And then you place your cards, you know, there accordingly. So whoever has the most matches for that round gets to gather the pot and bring it over. And then in the end, whoever ends up winning divvies it all to Jesus anyway. So.
And you said sweetening the pot with a code.
Correct? Yeah, I can sweeten the pot with a code. So for those that are listening or watching on YouTube, and this is a perpetual offer here, if you put in the code CatholicManShow, we can take $15 off of the Heaven Hold'em expansion. So it's normally $30.
Dang.
Wow, that's a lot. We'll cut it right in half. So you do need the base set to play with it. But if you already have the base set, this is a great deal. We'll cut it in half. Just a way to give a nod to all the listeners and those that are supporting the Catholic Man Show and appreciation for what you guys are doing. Happy to offer that.
Thanks, so that's
$15 off. And then if you put when you go to the St. Cards website, you have to put the coupon code in before you put in your address information. You just click on redeem this code and then put in Catholic Man Show and you'll see that pop
up. One thing that my wife and I do is that if you play a saint on their feast day, extra 3 points.
That is a house. Those are house rules.
That's a house rule
that I love. And in fact, you're one of probably 10 people that have reached out to me and let me know. Maybe we should build it into the rules because it's such a common thing. So yeah, if you play, like, tomorrow's a feast of St. Bonaventure, right? So if you play St. Bonaventure, double.
Also, I want to know why St. Romulid and St. Benedict look exactly the same.
Because those pictures were painted by the same artist.
Basically the same dude. This is the same old decrepit dude.
same artist.
Look at that.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
One's facing right, one is facing left.
Okay, so I'm cutting this conversation off on the gear. So, because we have a very important topic that I really want to get to, and we're already halfway through topic.
Okay.
So, where do we want to start on this? Because we're going to talk about how the saints help renewal of the church. There's a lot of things going on in the church right now.
Yeah.
That's no shocker to anybody.
Always has been, right?
Always has been. Yep. Right now is a hot time.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very important that we talk about this topic because it's a more positive spin on certain things that are happening.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. And if you don't have one of these, it's called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a great companion to the Bible and also to encyclicals and writings of the. But it's a true gift, as Pope St. John Paul II says. One of my favorite sections, and I have a lot of favorite sections in here, is paragraphs 823. To 829. So for those of you that are listening, we won't be able to read all of it tonight, but 823 to 829.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And the title is The Church is Holy, which is hard to believe whenever the church is going through crisis. And by the way, this isn't the first crisis, right? This is one of many.
Not even by far the worst.
Not even by far the worst.
I mean, there was a time when in the Arian crisis, half of the bishops were heretics.
Come on.
Half of them were all sorts of public heretics. Right.
But the church is founded by Christ, and anything that is founded by Christ is intrinsically holy, right? So that's the first philosophical standpoint that we can operate from. There are beautiful paragraphs in here. I'm going to skip right to paragraph 828, which says this, and read all the ones preceding it because they're awesome, but we don't have time. By canonizing some of the faithful, i.e., by solemnly proclaiming that they practiced heroic virtue and lived in fidelity to God's grace, the church recognizes the power of the spirit of holiness within her and sustains the hope of believers by proposing the saints to them as models and intercessors. The saints have always been the source and origin of renewal in the most difficult moments in the church's history.
John Paul II.
Indeed, that's right. Thank you, thank you, St. John Paul II, 1988, December 30th, right? Indeed, holiness is the hidden source and infallible measure of her apostolic activity and missionary zeal. Wow, right?
Yeah.
Power packed. And I have to finish with 829.
Because 829 brings us
We got to give it to our lady.
I was
going
to ask you to do this.
We got to give it to our lady. But while all this, right? And again, you have to read the preceding paragraphs. This is, I don't know, it's awesome. But while in the most blessed Virgin, the church has already reached that perfection whereby she exists without spot or wrinkle. The faithful still strive to conquer sin and increase in holiness. And so they turn their eyes to Mary. In her, the church is already the all holy.
Mm.
Mm. That's good. That's better than that's better than 10-point beer right there, right?
Amen.
Way
Amen.
Better. Oh yeah.
So here's the thing, right? Let's unpack this a little bit. And this there's a little bit of a stigma with the saints. Because we play saint cards, hopefully, right? We like playing saint cards. Or we read about the saints, or we hear about them, and we're inspired by them. And anytime we hear that word saint, it's always something for a lot of people. And I'll just speak for myself. That's kind of a far off. Like, I'm trying to get there. But today, this morning, I woke up, and I was cranky. And this afternoon, I said something I shouldn't have, and I had a bad attitude. So today just wasn't the day. Maybe tomorrow. And we have this kind of maybe tomorrow attitude when it comes to sanctity and holiness. And what's cool about this paragraph is it's taken from this apostolic exhortation by Pope St. John Paul II. And in 1988, and it is on the mission of the laity in society and in the family, right? And he's basically unpacking the reality that it's, you know, when the church says that the saints have always been the source and origin of renewal in the most difficult moments in the church's history, we're talking about the saints, yes, that have already been canonized and beatified, but in time. In other words, the saints have always been the source and origin of renewal. In other words, me being a saint right now.
Right.
Like you being a saint right now.
When they were alive on earth, right. Were the source of renewal.
That is
like,
the
like
source
we're supposed
of renewal.
To be. Right.
That's right. And it helps us to lead us to the reality that, you know, what Christ offers us, especially in the sacraments, is not something for tomorrow. It's not something that's, you know, that's going to, you know, like it's for now. Like the decision is now, right? And there's something, yeah, that's what the church does for us, is it gives us what we need now.
Amen.
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 Yes.
I agree. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about this.
I just wanted to see
how the saints are going to renew the church, how you're going to renew the church. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Oh. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and David Williams, creator of Saint Cards. So many other awesome things. One thing that he's going to be creating soon, in approximately 2 weeks, basically like 2 weeks.
Thanks, David.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Williams.
Depending on your time frame, it could be 2 weeks. However you count that. I mean, I basically speak Spanish, so this could basically be 2 weeks from now.
Sure.
If you get what I mean. David, you were going to start a podcast. You asked me one time if I thought it was a good idea, and I said, yeah, and you still haven't done it. And so yeah. Now we want to peer pressure you into doing it right here on the show.
Live. Yeah. I appreciate that. I have all the equipment, so
it's
ready to go.
A show where you go over the writings of the doctors of the church.
Doctors of the church and the saints. So in other words, we're just dishing you the writings of the saints.
So it's sort of like Pints with Aquinas, except the doctors, Pints with the doctors,
You got the doctors, and you've got some other, you know, men and women who have written prestigiously that we will read, so you can instead of maybe, you know, again, I like to be a nice guy. I hope I'm a good husband and father. But at the same time, you probably don't want to hear from me. Let's hear from somebody that's actually literally in heaven right now.
Yeah.
And that'll be a help to all of us to know, you know, how to walk this path of holiness.
And then will you be unpacking what this means? How does it apply to us? Or is it going to be like,
there'll be a little bit of unpacking, some prayer before and after, a little bit of unpacking. And then we'll make the meat of it literally be the meat.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's like, it'll be a sandwich with a little bit of bread on top, a little bit of bread on bottom. And then, you know, like a pound.
I feel like
half
Aquinas needs a lot of unpacking. Maybe some of the others spoke more directly, you know,
to the people.
It doesn't need to be unpacked. You know, it's obvious what it means. Yeah,
absolutely. But we want again. It's our heart with Saint Cards as well as anything to not just spread devotion to the saints, but the whole object is not just to know these like superheroes. The whole idea here is that we are holy, right? Just as they were.
Yeah.
And it is right there in front of us. It's not something that's far off. Like, the Lord has given us everything that we need right now, today, to get up and do exactly what they did.
So why the doctors and not other saints?
Well, though, it'll be many other saints. So doctors will be a crux of it, but we'll have many, many saints.
Okay.
Yep.
So okay. I like it.
Lots of
like
good
it
stuff. Yeah. So it's exciting. So thanks for making me do it.
There's a lot of saints who just get no play. They get no play these days.
They get no play.
Thomas deserves the play he gets, but sometimes he overshadows.
There are some obscure saints that we are going to read.
Yeah.
That
Saint Anselm, nobody reads.
Saint Anselm,
I take it. I do have one friend who reads.
Shout out Saint Thomas. Yeah. Saint Anselm. Shout out Thomas Lackey.
Thomas Lackey. But
yeah, good stuff.
He's got a lot of great stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, okay, Anselm.
Let's get back
Anselm
to the topic. Yeah, you are Anselm all over the place today. I'm
thank you.
To,
thank you.
I'm going to have to get you back on track here.
Okay, so we're talking about the saints
it's
renewing
I know,
the church.
He's all over the place today.
When we left, we were talking about how the saints are the ones principally who renew the church. Yeah. However, it's us. You know, it's the saints in their own time who were renewing the church then.
Right.
They're renewing the church now, no doubt. I mean,
right.
But well, we're called to do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there is something. So how do we unpack this? Right. Yes. We're called to be saints. We have these saints that have gone before us. We look up to them. But then, you know, this mystery of prayer, like, how is it that, you know, why is it that God in his grand awesomeness determined that it was through the intercession of the saints that he would answer our prayer? Or you could put it more plainly. Why is it that in his awesomeness, he would say, you know what, David, you really need to reach out to David and Adam and ask them to pray for you because you're going through this time. They've gone through the same thing that you're going through. Reach out to them so that they can be praying for you. And it does beg the question, God, why can't you just answer my prayer?
Right.
Rather than, you know, and God's answer is, well, because I like to use my body to
and
answer
we're all,
your prayer.
That's the thing about the saints is that we're all one body of Christ.
That's right.
And people who are just coming into the church, or maybe people who are not Catholic, I think they think of there's this the people in heaven, and then there's like, almost like a second body of the people on earth. Like, we're all one body
that's
of
right
Christ working together.
That's right.
And even Saint Augustine in so I have the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which you guys should definitely pick up.
This is awesome.
There you go. Show it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful edition, by the way, but it's the Council of Catechism of the, I'm sorry, the Catechism of the Council of Trent. But St. Augustine talks about that there are many things which God does not grant without a mediator or intercessor. And he uses Genesis chapter 20 as an example of that with Abraham, and basically saying, like, there's certain things, just like what you were saying, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need for you in the body of Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we all have to work together. So I think it goes back again. We're going to go back. We're talking about, you know, what's happening in the church today.
Right.
If we're wanting to change what's happening in the church today, first of all, you got to start interiorly with yourself, but helping each other, reaching out and praying for one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, all right, when I turn the light switch on, I use my finger, but my finger could not turn on the light switch if my hand, elbow, arm, shoulder,
that's right,
didn't cooperate. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you know, you could kind of use that as a kind of a poor analogy, but an analogy
that's
for
right
intercession. You know, there are the saints in heaven who they have attained perfection,
right,
and the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
That's right.
And so who's more righteous other than those in heaven? So we really need them. We need each other here on earth to pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's why God chooses to do this. I think so that he can teach us that we are not sufficient of ourselves, that we really need each other. Right. We need each other to be sanctified. Right. You know, that I need to know that you sanctify me, that I sanctify you, that I have a role in your life, that I shouldn't diminish your role in my life. You know, that there's just this very communal. Heaven is going to be communal. Mm-hmm. It's all about communion. And so,
right. Earth, and what happens when one sinner
repents? Everything in life is about this.
What happens when one sinner repents in heaven?
That's right.
They rejoice.
That's right.
You know, so if one sinner's repenting causes a rejoice in heaven, why would God not allow those who are rejoicing in heaven whenever a sinner repents to actually help them?
Right.
Focus, like,
or to teach us a God. Heavenly reality here
right.
on earth.
Here you on know, earth. Right.
We're practicing these heavenly realities. That's what this communion is all
that's
about.
Exactly right.
I think.
And here's the thing is, you know, a lot of times folks look at the saints or look at each other as like this, you know, maybe they'd just be frank, you know, a rabbit's foot. Like if I ask them to pray for me,
right,
then I'm going to get what I want.
Right. Like St. Anthony.
Right. Like St. Anthony. And again, St. Anthony and I have a deal. Like he's like, I'm going to only help you find three things today because I got like 7 billion people to help. So if I get a fourth thing every day, he's like, all right, I got to move to the next guy. But you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there is, the idea is relationship with Christ, right? Mm-hmm. We're not Christians because we want to get what we want. And we're not asking people to pray for us so that we can get what we want. What we're doing when we're asking people to pray for us is we are entering into a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ, recognizing that his body is you two. You all recognizing that his body is me. And then making the decision to say, I'm going to engage Jesus Christ in David Niles, in mm-hmm. Adam Minahan, right? And so then all of a sudden, right here on earth, we have, wow, this calling, as Patrick Coffin likes to say, right? You know, be a saint. What else is there? I love, it is like, that's it.
Yeah, he's got exactly. It. What else is there?
What else is there? There's nothing else. So then the idea then is that we help to sharpen each other to be saints because that is the most tangible and intimate way that we can get to know Jesus Christ is by directly engaging his body. And so the idea here is that I love how the church wraps it up with the Blessed Virgin Mary, because it says, you know, while in the most blessed Virgin, the church has already reached that perfection whereby she exists without spot or wrinkle, the faithful still strive to conquer sin and increase in holiness. And it's true. We are trying to conquer sin. We're trying to increase in holiness. So they turn their eyes to Mary, and in her, the church is already the all holy. So thank God he's given us this precious gem, the church, and the representation of the church is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Nothing more that can encourage us than a perfect example. And sometimes it's discouraging for us if we look around and we see that, you know, folks are falling into sin and even in our own lives, like, you know, we're like, oh, we're bummed out whenever we mess up. Right. But God has given us the grace of being able to look at a perfect gem in the church and in the Blessed Virgin Mary to constantly draw us into that holiness. And it's all in the end for Christ. Right. And so that's the beauty of the communion of the saints. And the church does a great job in explaining it here.
There's some people that say, you know, I'm following you up to a point. Here's where I'm not following you is the whole specific saints with specific reasons. Like I go to St. Isidore because he's a farmer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, I don't understand that whole aspect. Would you want to touch on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, like as an example, if you're going through, you know, you're battling cancer right now. It's highly likely that if you're going to ask somebody to pray for you, that you're going to reach out to somebody that you know that has gone through a very similar experience, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or maybe battled through and conquered stage 4 pancreatic cancer or whatever it may be, right? So you're going to reach out to them and ask them, what doctor did you go to? What kind of protocol did you go on? What kind of diet did you have, right? We're going to ask them, what did you do so that we can make it through that particular physical challenge? Spiritually, we're doing the same thing. I struggle, you know, with anger, right? So, a lot of people don't know this. St. Francis de Sales, the doctor of charity, right? The graceful doctor, right? Or, you know, the one that was just so calm and meek. If you go and look at his desk, underneath his desk are these nail marks where he was just digging in underneath. He struggled with anger. Nobody knew it, but he did, right? Or you got St. Jerome, right, who was a pretty hot head. And everybody knows him as that, right?
I mean, and kind of a lustful guy.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of, you know, these earthly passions that he had to hit knuckle on. So, yeah, you struggle with that? Go to Jerome. He figured out how to get to heaven. Let's talk to him about it.
Excellent.
Dude, Dave,
excellent.
Love to have you on, man.
Thank you so much.
Always a blast to have you here.
SaintCars.com.
Yeah, use Catholic Man Show as a promo code.
Also, reach out to David. He does speaking engagements, so if you want someone to speak at your conference, reach out to him at St. Cars. You can find his information there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Cheers to Jesus.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.